Imagination is a distorted image of you, of God, or of a situation. You say, preacher, you're not helping. Yes, sis?
I'm sorry, I was back there. I didn't hear what you said. Did you say something about heart attack?
Yes, there were two people here this morning thinking that they're about to have a heart attack. And the Lord said, it's a lie.
I have one, but I've had two friends in the last week talk about having had heart attack.
Well, this is for people here this morning. Whoever is here this morning.
Can you repeat that just one more time?
I will. I'm coming. And the idea that you're going to have a heart attack is a lie from the pits of hell. This is what the Bible calls imagination. So imagination is a distorted. It's a distorted vision or a distorted picture of you yourself. Of God and of a situation. Imagination, it starts on your thinking. And the idea that you're going to have a heart attack, the idea. Your ideas doesn't come from your foot, am I correct? It comes from your mind. From your thoughts. The Bible says that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are powerful in God to bring down strongholds. Strongholds is a compartment in your head, in your thinking, that controls your mood. And as a result of that control, you start having imagination. Oh my God, I'm having a heart attack. That's imagination. And an imagination, according to the Greek New Testament, is a distorted vision, a distorted image of yourself, of your God, and of a situation. So how do I deal with imagination? You bring it into submission.
Yes. Amen.
You bring it into captivity. Yes. Oh, I'm going to have a heart attack. Mind, I bind you in Jesus' name, you idiot. Line up with the word of God.
Yes.
I am not having a heart attack. I have the heart of Christ.
Yes.
Oh, I'm about to go blind.
Thank you, Lord.
Mind, I bring you into submission, into captivity of the word of God. I have the eyes of Christ. Oh my God, I'm about to go crazy. I rebuke you, imagination.
Yes.
You are a lie.
Yes.
I am not getting crazy because I've got the mind of Christ.
Yes.
Your flesh will work together with your mind to knock you down. Are you with me here? Brother Alex, come here. Brother Ted, come here. Pinky. Sister Pinky. Come here. I love her. Look at her. She's all pinky. Now imagine you're looking at this precious young lady here. And these two guys here would have taken a fight against her. Who do you believe has a chance to win? I'm literally meaning kicking and punching. Do you think that she can beat these two guys here? Come on, let's be real. You think that this 70 years old young lady is going to beat these two big guys here? So if these two here gang up against her, the chances of her to win is very... Very slim. Thank you, sweetheart. Thank you, brothers. You may say, what was the point? We already know that two big guys like this cannot lose for Sister Myra. That's my point. Jesus said, that unless you are born from the Spirit, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Do I have an amen for this?
Amen.
That's in John chapter 3. So when you are born again, the Spirit of God comes to reside within you. You are with me so far, right?
Yes.
The Spirit of God is already in there. Stay with me. Satan cannot touch your spirit. I've been saying this for a gazillion years. Satan cannot touch your spirit because your spirit belongs to God. And he knows better than this. He will bark around another tree. You are a three-piece being. You have your spirit that God gave you. That's the real you. Then you have your stinking mind, which is part of your soul. Your soul consists of your mind, of your emotions, and your feelings. That's part of your soul. And then you have the unsaved, stinking body. The Bible doesn't say for you to renew your body on a daily basis. Are y'all with me? Romans 12, 1 and 2 says that your mind is what needs to be renewed on a daily basis. Renewed of what? Of the garbage that is out there. Let me tell you one of the biggest mistakes y'all make here. It's October, pollen time. Oh boy. It's allergy time. I better stock up my medicine cabinet for allergy. That is your stinking mind agreeing with your stinking body. But whenever your mind is renewed by the Word of God and it gets into agreement with your spirit, it's the two big guys. Your body is 70 years old, Meyer. Cannot fight the two big guys. So when your mind bring every distorted image that you have about yourself and about your God under submission, under the obedience of Christ, you not have one more day sick. Because now you've got two to fight against one.
Yes.
And two will always win.
Yes.
In a fight against one. Are y'all understand what I'm saying here?
Yes.
You're not going to have a heart attack.
Amen.
That is your imagination. And imagination is a distorted view. Of yourself. Of God, or even of a situation. Say, I'm not having a heart attack. That's the end of this story. I'll be preaching to you for the next couple of weeks. Keep your healing. I'm coming. Keep your healing and all that God has for you. This is what I'm going to be sharing. And it's starting today. It's time for your mind to line up with the Word of God.
Yes.
Are you with me here?
Yes.
Tell your neighbor, I'm saying goodbye to poverty.
Goodbye to poverty.
Oh, come on, say like you mean it.
I'm saying goodbye to poverty.
Tell your neighbor, I'm saying goodbye for illnesses.
Chronic illnesses.
Yes, sister.
Yeah, I was talking about having the thought of heart attack. So I just remember that I was having it because sometimes even in my sleep, the pain was like here.
It's a lie from the devil.
Yeah.
Don't let your imagination control who you are. In Christ Jesus.
Well, yesterday, when I had the pain in my arm, It went all the way down. And that's one of the symptoms. I didn't say I'm having one. I said that's one of the symptoms, and I'm not going to have one because I'm not going to the hospital, and I'm not getting into the big medical system.
He's a liar.
But when I went around the house praising and saying the word, it just got worse. And that's when I called. I was like, I need somebody else.
You see this? You see this? Did you hear what she just said? She had a pain.
It started on the upper arm, and then eventually it was that like tingling, numbing pain and got to the fingers. And that's when I kind of got yikes.
And then you went around the house praying, then it got worse.
Yes. And yeah, I had put worse.
You know what this is?
What?
A play. With the mind.
It's not working.
It's not working because it had to go.
Right.
But the imagination, you know, oh, this is the symptom of heart attack.
Yeah.
Well, Lord, I praise you. Ah, I praise you, Lord. Ah. Imagination. Heart attack has no business in my body, so beat it!
In the medical community, they have a phrase that's called psychosomatic.
Okay.
Where the mind affects the body.
There you go. Now, folks, God has blessed you. And by the way, I told you the title for this next few sermons will be Keep Your Healing and All That God Gave You. Keep it.
Yeah.
I'm going to be sharing this on national TV. My boss told me that. I don't know when or where. And I told him, I don't want to do this. There's a lot of people in the church that wants to be on TV. I don't. I'm happy to be at BCFC. But this is going to get on national TV. You do not need faith to be healed. If you are a Bible believer, your healing has already been paid for. I'll say it again. I don't have to ever lay my hands on you unless you are having tantrum. And 90% of you have spiritual tantrum on a daily basis. It's easy to be babysat or Christian sat. Oh, poor thing. All right, it's going to be okay. Don't worry, sweetie. It's okay. Let me pray for you. This is what the church does. I'm not your babysitter. I'm here to teach you the word of God so you can become a better believer. You don't need faith to be healed. You don't need faith to be prosperous. You know, I know a preacher right now that has 3 bobblehead kids. And he often calls. So we talk over the phone because I have 4 kids. And one of his bobblehead kids the fella was way out there. He say, preacher, I'm about to give up hope. I said, that's an imagination, brother. I don't know what to do with this boy anymore. You're missing the point. You're not the one who does anything. Why? You're not the Holy Ghost. Last time we checked on the Bible, you're not the one who convinced people of anything. If anything, you're going to try to talk to your children, they're going to hate you. Because you're always wrong. How dare you? And I know I am a father. It's hard for somebody to hear something like this. So finally, this preacher agreed with me that we're going to only pray. Lord, it's in your hand. I don't even want to know about this. I don't care about it. If they die, I just ask you to spare them from hell. And that was tough. Well, a week ago, we've got the good news. That knucklehead child walked into a church and was hit with an atomic punch from the Holy Ghost. The tough little weasel is weeping on his knees at the altar. And he called home and said, I'm coming back to Jesus today. The idea of losing hope is in imagination. Why would you do that? Well, the more we pray, the worse it becomes. That's a distorted vision about your God. You know, some of us are so bad with tantrum that when God doesn't do what we want Him to do, we put a fight and somebody else is just laughing. Yes. Come on, child. Do it. Do it. Make your God upset with you. Sometimes the blast is on the way, but we miss it because we give up. Sometimes the bless is on the way, we miss it because we allow the demon to steal our blessing. And here we go again about imagination. In the book of Matthew, chapter 12, verse 43, 44, and 45, we find the following words. Read it with me. When an unclean spirit goes out of man, he goes through dry places,
seeking rest, and finds none.
Now let's just analyze this scripture here. He's saying an unclean spirit. Are you with me here?
Yes.
Goes out of a man. Now can you imagine you a spirit supposed to be holy because God's Spirit is within you. Amen.
Amen?
Your mind supposed to be renewed and purified because you have the Word of God in you. So an unclean spirit has no business to be in your body. Say amen.
Amen.
Now, through mishappenings, through misadventure, through imagination, sometimes we allow that thing to come into our bodies. Then we are in bad shape. Then Jesus moves in and kicks that thing out of our bodies. And it goes out, seeking rest. That tells me that your body, or my body, or our bodies, or the bodies of a lot of people out there, is the place where unclean spirits finds rest. Stay with me here. That shouldn't be so. Because when our minds are renewed by the Word of God, and are lined up with the Word of God, the last place that a demon wants to stay is in our body. Because there are sparks of holiness in us.
Yes.
And holiness chases away uncleanness.
Yes,
we are so messed up in the way that we think. That some people think, well, I got to get my act together so I can come to God and be blessed. That's an imagination.
Yes.
That's a distorted thinking. You don't get your act together and get cleaned out and come to God. You come to God,
yes,
and the spark of holiness in,
yes,
of God makes you clean to fight the nonsense that is going on in the body.
Hallelujah.
So the next verse, verse 44, says this. Watch this. Then the unclean spirit says, well, I can find a house. I will return to my house from which I came. How dare you call someone's body your home? Are you with me so far? How dare you? Watch this. And when he comes, he finds it empty, swept, and put in order. When an unclean spirit or an spirit of sickness is cast out of you, make sure that you're going to adorn that house with the Word of God. Yeah. On the moment that the unclean spirit comes out, your body will be empty of sickness. Will be swept of every disease you've been told you had. And it goes back in order in the way that God made it to be.
Amen.
So the best way to keep that on is filling it with the Word of God.
Hallelujah.
You with me so far, right?
Yes.
But when we got healed, you know, we get healed. Instead of giving more place to the Spirit to grow within us, we go back to the television. We go back to the horror movies. We go back to Facebook. We go back to whatever it is that you watch. Nothing of God's Word in it. You with me so far? Your mind can't be renewed if the Word is not there. Didn't David say, your Word is a light unto my path?
Huh?
Light unto my feet and a lamp unto my path. When the Word of God comes in, things come to light. You can understand who you are in Christ Jesus. But when the Word is not in, that unclean spirit that has been kicked out will come back.
Yeah.
Find everything clean, in order, and worst of all, empty. Verse 45. Then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself. And they enter and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first.
Yes.
So shall it also be with this wicked generation. When the uncleanness gets out, fill your mind, fill your thoughts, fill your imagination with the things of God. Let me tell you this. Satan is out there trying to do three things in order to take from you what God has given you. Satan is out there saying, well, you know what? This preacher got me out, but I'm going to return to my house. No, you're not. You have been prayed for something that you felt on the past. And when you see the light blinking and those symptoms trying to return, Satan, you cannot return to this house.
Yes.
And you start quoting the Word of God. He's out there trying to kill and destroy your joy. Things start happening to take away your joy. I rebuke the adversity and the feeling to go back to the same old life. This is what God wants you to do. God wants you to hold fast to the healing that you got this morning. Well, I didn't feel it. If your healing is based on what you're feeling, you are on the flesh. Get out of it. Because your healing is not based on what you feel. Your healing is based on what God's word says.
Amen.
Are you with me?
Amen.
I told some of you, after I got that revelation, the boss said, the church is missing all their blessings because they are getting things backwards. If you would have come to your child and you say, well, behave good, and this coming Christmas, I'm going to give you a bicycle. What would happen? Your child will try to be on its best. Isn't that right? And try to please you at all costs. Why? Because that child is believing in you that you will give him or her a bicycle. That's a promise. Isn't that right? So, if that child don't believe you or what you're saying, that child will continue to misbehave.
Yes.
Am I correct?
Yes.
So, in order to change their behavior, they've got to have faith in you that you're going to carry through the promise that you made.
Yes.
You're with me, right?
Yes.
So what you're saying? You don't need faith to believe in your healing. You need faith to believe in your promises. Well, healing is a promise. No. Healing is a fact. A promise is something that's going to happen in the future. A fact is something that is happening in the present. Or already happened in the past. So if Jesus said that by his stripe, you were healed. Is that future?
No.
That's past. Well, I have to believe in Jesus. Yeah. If you believe in him as your Savior, he said it is finished.
Yeah.
It is done. So your salvation, your deliverance, your blessings, your healing is thing of the past. What you need is boldness and guts to believe or to accept what has been done for you. The Lord gave me this revelation. So when the revelation came, here am I debating. I decided to thank God for his word. I have a note here. American currency, good than anywhere in this country. Anywhere in the world for that fact. I want to give this money away for anybody. The first one that comes here will get it. Anybody. All right. Does she need faith to get that?
No.
It's something right here, right now. All she needed was the boldness.
Yes.
The guts to get up and come and get it.
Yes.
Are you with me here now?
Yes.
Your healing is already done. Is already made.
Right.
All you need is the guts to take possession of it.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Thank you. Praise the Lord.
In the book of Revelation, chapter 2, verse 25, the Lord Jesus said the following words. Read it with me. Hold fast
what
you have
till I come.
Why would Jesus tell you and I to hold fast what we have? Because he has already done it at Calvary Cross.
Yeah.
Well, but I don't have it. Well, maybe you just need a little guts to take possession of what has already been made to you. And I know some of you are thinking, well, that's different, preacher. She just saw a $5 in your hand and she went and she grabbed it. No, it's not different at all. If I have to grab and take the things that I see, I am one of the most miserable men on this planet. And I'll tell you this. If you can only accept what you see, you will never make to heaven. Man, this is harsh. No, it ain't. How do you know there is a God? Well, my grandmother said. Okay. How else? Well, the Bible says there is. Okay. What else? I don't know. You need to be saved. How do you know there is a God? I've got Him right here within my heart. He has proven time and over again that He is God. He has proven time and over again that He's good for the money. Now, because I know that He is, that He exists, and I made a profession to follow Jesus, and I have received Jesus as my personal Lord and Savior, I know I'm going to heaven.
Yeah.
Right? Now, the Bible says that Jesus is the finisher, the author and finisher of our faith, of our salvation. The word salvation in the scriptures is the Greek word sozo. And if you're going to go to any Greek concordance today and look at the word sozo, it means saved. It means redeemed. Sozo also means healed. Sozo also means whole. W-H-O-L-E. Sozo means put back together. When Jesus was at Calvary Cross and He said, "It is done. Your healing is done. Your salvation is done. Your redemption is done. Your deliverance is done. It's all done." Now, the problem that the church has today is the fact that they look at healing as something in the future. And for that reason, a lot of people don't get healed. Healing is not something that's going to happen in the future. Healing already happened in the past. So if it happened in the past, I don't need faith to believe it's already done. Well, I have not experienced. There's hundreds of people around you that have. So if you don't want to believe for the fact that God says that it will happen, believe for what other people around you are saying. Are you with me so far?
Yes.
So when I was given that concept, all right, we went to Hibachi. We had a guest speaker here. We went to Hibachi. I hate Hibachi. With a passion. Every time I ate at Hibachi, I got sick for 3 or 4 days. It's like the whole food is between under my cheek and my throat. It seems like the whole 3 pounds of food is packed in here. And then the heartburn comes in. I can't sleep for 2 or 3 nights with that flame going on here. And when it finally makes through, my belly gets big and then get out because the gas will be coming for the next 4 days. I always told you guys that my favorite restaurant in town is Marcia's Kitchen. So if we are not on the Brazilian Steakhouse, it's Marcia's Kitchen. So by the time that my God says that I don't need faith to believe in healing because it's staying on the past, I need faith to believe in the future. I said, "That's right." And I'm going to show this piece of garbage that I believe on that promise. We went to Hibachi. I ate exactly the things that hurt me. and I double it. It went through on the first shot. It got in at noon, by evening it was out. No heartburn, no burping, or any other junk. So we went to Red Robin and get one of the greasies that they have. Am I doubting God? No. I'm showing somebody else that you can't come back because the door is closed for you in this house.
Yes.
Spirit of sickness, back off. This body's doors is locked and the key has been taken by Jesus.
Yes.
We went to Red Robin and we enjoy ourselves. I eat a very, very greasy burger with the fries and the whole nine yards. Nothing happened. So we went all the way to Romanos, macaroni and grill, whatever the thing is called. And then I ordered penna rustica with Alfredo sauce. Top off. Around 2 o'clock. By 7, it was out. No heartburn. No fiery flame on the chest. No colics. No swollen belly. What you're saying? Hold fast what you have. God said, I don't need faith to believe, to receive healing. I'm going to go with God. I need no faith to believe in healing. I had the guts and the boldness to accept what God said. And I acted accordingly. So what you're saying, preacher? Don't you dare to live out of this door in the same way that you came in. Well, preacher, you know, I cannot eat greens because when I eat greens, I feel bad. That's imagination. It's a distorted thinking. Greens will never do you harm. Well, preacher, you don't understand. In the past, I ate greens and I felt so bad I had to go to McDonald's. That's a lie from the pits of hell. That's vain, vain imagination. Well, I don't have time. You know, I can't cook, I don't have time. Liar. The time that you're going to be watching that program, put something to cook. And eat healthy. Hold fast to what you have. And that is your healing. That's your health. That's your family. That's the sound mind that you have. A lot of you are getting beat left and right and losing your blessing because you don't quite hold fast to who you are in Christ Jesus. And here are some basic confessions that you should be making about yourself. I belong to God. Did you get that?
Yes.
So how does that affect on my healing? When the unclean spirit of sickness tried to come back, hey, back off. Get out. I belong to God.
Amen.
You can't stay here. You have been given an eviction notice. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, there is 3 promises that you should recite every time that the sickness comes. Every time that the doubt come, every time that the unbelief come, every time that you're shaking between two thinking if your loved one will be saved or not. First thought, first declaration you should make of you. You are of God.
Amen.
Say, I am of God.
I am of God.
Tell your neighbor, you belong to God.
You belong to God.
Sickness cannot park on your body. Hey, you belong to God.
Amen.
So no unclean spirit has any business to say, well, I'm going to go back to my old house. No, you ain't. Because this house don't belong to you. It belongs to God. So beat it. Some of you got to grasp this concept, because God's going to send people your way, not for you to come and nag me to pray for people that's not in church. So if God send you somebody that desperately needed prayer, you pray for them and tell them this. Don't come and bother me with this. Well, you're a preacher and you... Yes, but I'm not a preacher for the guy out in the streets. God send you his way. So you are the one who's supposed to pray for them and preach.
Amen. Amen.
You are of God. Never forget that thought.
Amen.
You are of God. You belong to God. You belong to someone much bigger, much greater than any disease that may attempt to reside in your body. So what's the second declaration, preacher? He says here, and have overcome them. So what's the declaration? I have overcome sickness and disease.
Yes.
Say to yourself, as many times as you need, I have overcome you.
Yes.
All of you.
Yes.
Beat it.
Yes.
You cannot stand in my body.
Yes.
I belong to God, and therefore I have overcome you. So symptoms, beat it. You can't stay here.
Yes.
Scram. It also says, because he who is in you is greater than he that is out there in the world.
Yes.
When the symptoms comes back, beat it. There's somebody else in here, and he's greater than you.
Yes.
So you can't stay in here.
Yes.
You know, it has been a stressful 2 last weeks, and I don't pinch myself every day as the doctors went. But then I noticed that something started being a little weird. So I pinched myself, and my blood sugar went way up there to 275. Immediately, beat it. Because greater is the one in here than you out there. You can't stay in here. You can't come here because somebody else is already in here.
Amen.
Got my act together. Did some more prayer. This morning I checked my blood. 106. You have to speak to your stinking body. You don't call the shots. You follow the lead of the Spirit of God. Tell your body, tell the sickness trying to come back, I belong to God. I have overcome you. And the one that is here now is greater than you are. You can't come in. And you can't stay. I will continue another day, but I want to call in for the last point of this sermon. Never, ever, 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 ever give up.
Yes.
Write it down. I will never give up.
I will never give up.
Giving up is not a sentence that belongs in our vocabulary when it comes to the things of God. If you understand that you belong to God, if you understand that you are an overcomer, And if you understand that the greater is He that is occupying your body right now, not the unclean spirit, you will never give up.
Yeah.
Now listen to Luke 18, verse 1. Read it with me. Jesus told his disciples a story to show that tell your neighbor, don't you ever give up. That's Jesus' words. Are y'all with me here?
Yes.
One day Jesus told his disciples a story to show that they should always pray and never give up. Sometimes you're thinking flesh will put a fight. So when the fight is enraging, pray. And then what do? Pray some more. Well, I just finished praying. What do next? Pray again. And never give up. Hold fast to what you have. It is yours. So if God has blessed you with a nice house, devil, you will not take my blessing because I am not giving up on my house. If God bless you with children and they are out there messing around, devil, keep your filthy hands from my children because I am not giving up on my children. If your spouse is still a knucklehead, devil, I'm not giving up on my spouse. I will not give up nothing that God gave to me. If you see me without something that God blessed me with, it was not taken from me. I voluntarily surrender it. But I'm not going to give up. Because greater is He that is within you and I than he that is in the world. Listen to 2 Corinthians 4:1. Watch this. Read it with me. Therefore, since God in His mercy has given us this new way, come on, turn to somebody and say, don't you dare to give up. We will never give up. God has given us a new way, a better way. And I'm going to stick with the better way, no matter how tough it might be sometimes. Did y'all have that experience when you buy a very expensive, good shoes, that the first week or two that you use it is kind of hard and kind of pain until you break it? Anybody have ever experienced that? Now, when you buy a cheapo, you put it in and it's already fitting. You know? But when you go and you buy a pure leather shoes and you put it on, sometimes you have to put some Band-Aid on your foot, you know, for the first 2-3 weeks until it breaks in. God gave us a better way. And that better way sometimes may have some aches because we've got to adjust to the better, to the new. If anyone is in Christ, the old things has passed away. Everything become new. And many times, like a new leather shoes, there's an adjustment time. For people that are used to eat pizza in the evening and burgers during the day, when God starts taking them to steak, it takes some time for them to adjust to this whole good life. We will never give up. We will never give up. We will never give up.
Amen.
I want you to listen to the same chapter, verse 16. Watch this. Read it with me. That's why If anybody gotta die, it's not my faith, it's my body. Why? Because my body is not saved. My body is not gonna go to heaven, or to hell for that matter. It's gonna go back to the mud. So if anybody gotta die here, it's my body. But our faith will be renewed on a daily basis. Our spirit is renewed. Our mind is renewed. Are you with me?
Yes.
But we will never give up. And I'm going to wrap up with Colossians 6, 9. Let's read it. So, let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap the harvest of blessing if we don't give up. I want you to touch somebody and say, don't give up. You're just about to rip the harvest of blessing. Oh, come on. Tell your neighbor, you're just about to rip a harvest of blessing. So don't give up. So what is the conclusion, preacher? Don't let the stinking imagination, the distorted view of your God, and of circumstances, rob you away from your healing and from your blessings. Amen. Keep your healing. Keep your blessings and all that God has given to you. Hold fast, Jesus said, to what you have. I tell devil, you better back off, you moron, because whatever God has given to me, I'm holding fast to it. You can't have it. God gave it to me. It is mine. End of story. May God bless you.